Yeah, I guess since I can't see you this time, that like my hearing is extra sensitive.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I guess it does. Well, it's okay anyway, because I look rough today.
I am sure you don't.
You're not missing anything.
I'm sure you don't.
Okay, let me get my story up here. My story might be a little shorter today.
That's but fine.
It was really enjoyable for me to do, to read about.
Okay.
It's a little near and dear to my heart in one respect, which you'll see later.
Okay.
You will definitely know the connection.
We need to introduce ourselves.
Oh, I'm Dana.
I'm Kristen.
I've been forgetting that lately.
I remembered.
This is The Darker Side of Life, the podcast where two best friends tell each other creepy, strange, weird, unexplained, true crime stories, kind of dark stories, but we don't tell each other what we're going to talk about. You already know that this one's a little near and dear to my heart. Mm-hmm. I've already given that little clue away. I'm going to talk about the ghosts of the Dakota Building.
What's the Dakota Building?
The Dakota Building is an apartment building in New York City.
Okay.
A quite famous one, actually.
I guess I'm just behind. I have no idea.
I have sources from ABC News, from the New York Times, from Business Insider, Ranker.com, a few Wikipedia fact-checking in there, and LovelandBedicine.com, a blog, and BeatlesHistorian.com.
There's the connection.
There it is.
Oh, the Dakota.
The okay. Dakota.
The Dakota. I know this. Yes.
Okay. You know the building then.
Yes.
At 1 West 72nd Street on the Upper West Side of Manhattan in New York City sits an apartment building designed by Henry Hardenberg for businessman Edward Cabot Clark. Now, Clark had a lot of irons in the fire. He was a lawyer, a real estate developer, and eventually met with Isaac Merritt Singer and advised him on developing and patenting his new invention, the sewing machine.
Ooh, cool.
So apparently somebody else also had patented some type of sewing machine, so there was a little bit of a legal wrangling, legal debate there.
It was a sewing machine war.
It was. So Singer went back to Clark for help with that, and they partnered up to co-found the Singer Sewing Machine Company.
Yep, I know that name.
I do too. So Clark is doing pretty well. In the late 1800s in New York City, the Upper West Side was kind of barren. Not a lot was built there, and the Upper East Side was where it's at. And apparently the topography at the time and the lack of basically anything there made the area undesirable for building. The whole west side of Central Park consisted of hundreds of empty lots. Which I find kind of amazing because now look at a map of New York City, especially around Central Park. It's all buildings.
Yes.
Manhattan, the whole island, all buildings.
All buildings.
And pictures of the buildings, which I found really early on when it was built, is just one big building surrounded by a bunch of flatland and maybe another building here or there. It's like if you go to Kennedy Space Center and you're driving across the bridge to Merritt Island and all you see is flat, super flat swampland and then the vehicle assembly building.
Right.
For NASA, just like right there.
Yep.
That's where, for non-U.S. based listeners, this is where we launch all the space shuttles and most of the rockets.
Sorry, it's, I guess I just assume Merritt Island. Everyone knows that, but that's, I guess, not true.
Well, I mentioned Merritt Island and not Cape Canaveral. I don't think so. Anyway, bit off track. In the late 1800s, a new 9th Street elevated line, like a train, was built, and the West Side Association was formed within a year. So Clark thought this would open up a lot of opportunity on the Upper West Side. So he began his development. He got in early. At a speech. Oh my God.
What?
At a speech in December. I saw speech in December, so it became at a speech.
At a speech. His speech.
speech.
I kept a speech.
I kept a speech. In December, the speech. Give it a speech.
Oh, gosh.
At a speech in December 1879, Clark told the West Side Association, quote, "There are but few persons who are princely enough to wish to occupy an entire palace, but I believe there are many who would like to occupy a portion of a great building."
Hmm.
He had visions.
He had visions.
In the fall of 1880, construction began, and it took a few years to complete. In fact, Clark actually died before it was completed, so he never got to see his building.
Bummer.
I know. It's so pretty, too. It's so unique. In June 1882, the building got the nickname the Dakota, although how the name came to be is a little disputed. One story is that it was nicknamed the Dakota based off its remoteness from the rest of New York City, just as the Dakota Territory at the time was to the United States, like way far out there.
Mm-hmm.
The Clark family never disputed this story, but in 1933, a longtime building manager gave an interview to the New York Herald Tribune newspaper and said, quote, probably it was called Dakota because it was so far west and so far north.
Okay.
Wikipedia noted that the more likely origin for the nickname was Clark's fondness for Western development at the time. So we had a lot of then new Western states and territories.
Mm-hmm.
And back in 1879, he had proposed naming the Upper West Side's like North-South avenues after states or territories in the Western United States, although they did not take his suggestions.
Yep.
The remoteness of this new building helped Clark's critics give it their own nickname, Clark's Folly.
Oh,
well,
sad.
the joke is on them because look at New York City today.
Right.
I mean, hello. It's one of the most like recognized buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Before the building was even completed, some critics were skeptical. At one point, one said, at present, it is too isolated to come to anything like an immediate favor with the wealthy classes. So basically, only rich people are going to get there if they decide to pay for it.
Yeah, it's usually how it is.
But by the time it opened, it was widely acclaimed. The New York Daily Graphic wrote that the Dakota was, quote, one of the most perfect apartment houses in the world. H.W. Fabian, whoever he is, referred to the Dakota as, quote, the most excellent of any of the kind in New York, and M.G. Van Rensselaer, whoever she is. I got no attributions of who these people are.
Oh, just random people.
So they're probably high society people that you're quoted in the Wikipedia article, so you must mm-hmm. have some sort of prestige. She said the Dakota was the only apartment building she had ever seen that merits praise. She is picky.
It's like she's a tough crowd.
She is a tough crowd, but she liked the Dakota. Mm-hmm. So good job. Later, it would be called by architectural record the best designed apartment houses along Central Park West.
Wow.
Good for you, Clark. I'm sad you didn't get to see it.
I know he didn't. That is really sad.
I'm going to leave out a lot of the history of the ownership and what because it doesn't really matter too much. But the Dakota became a pretty popular building. In a 1996 article in New York Magazine, several brokers classify the Dakota as one of the five top-tier apartment buildings on Central Park West, largely because its residents, its huge, large scale, and the historical prestige of this building.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of celebrities made their homes there over the years. Lauren Bacall, an actress, lived there. Rosemary Clooney, George Clooney's aunt, lived there. Roberta Flack, a singer, Connie Chung, Joe Namath, the football player, and Mari Povich lived there at one point, which really? I find to be the odd one out, maybe.
Yeah.
And my favorite resident, because I'm a big Beatles fan, John Lennon and Yoko Ono live there.
John Lennon, yep. There's the connection.
There's my connection. And a lot of people already know December 8th, 1980, John Lennon was shot outside of the front door there mm-hmm. at the Dakota building.
Yes.
So that's the basics. A man wants to build a luxury apartment building way out in the boonies. People think he's crazy at first. It turns out to be a good move, and it becomes home to the rich and famous.
Good call. He had a good call.
And being an old building with a lot of comings and goings, people have said to have seen or heard interesting, unexplained things happening there.
Sweet.
This is like the Cecil Hotel of New York City.
I was thinking about the Cecil.
This mm-hmm. is like the East Coast, West Coast rivalry, but with haunted apartments and hotels.
Yeah. I was thinking about the Cecil.
I think the Cecil might win though, just because they've had murders and things and
like very notorious death.
Yeah, it's a little darker.
Mm-hmm.
In a book called Life at the Dakota by Stephen Birmingham, several former and longtime employees of the building mentioned having experienced something unusual. The author writes that Joe Milziner, really hope I said that right, kept a scrapbook of bits and pieces of the Dakota's history, and he always suspected that spirits took up residence there. In 1976, Joe had died just outside the Dakota's front door while sitting in a taxi after having just left a doctor's appointment to come back home. I mean, I don't know, but like, how would you feel? I would feel so bad if I was that doctor. I'm like, oh, crap.
What did I miss?
Oh, crap. Wilbur Ross was a tenant who went down to the basement once when an employee there saw him and said that a heavy snow shovel was hanging on the wall. It always has been, and that's where it should have been, hanging on the wall, when it suddenly flew across the room and landed on the floor 20 feet away.
That's a big object to go flying.
So this guy sees it, freaks out, runs upstairs and grabs somebody, basically. Later, the same thing happened, but with bags of garbage that was waiting to be taken out. So all these bags have been stacked neatly, like by a back door, and they were just flung in the middle of the floor.
Okay.
Ew.
Yeah.
Wilbur admitted to being a skeptic, but he also admits that he saw with his own eyes a huge metal bar fly off the shelf randomly and land across the room.
Gosh, you've got metal bars. You have shovels. Dangerous.
Trash. Hit me with the trash bag.
Yeah, trash, fine.
If it's going to be one of those.
Shovel, no thank you.
When he tried to pick it up, he couldn't because it was too heavy for one person to lift by themselves. It was probably one of those big things they use in construction or something. The building also had four big elevators. One time, one of them started going up on its own.
Ooh.
And it took four of the biggest guys in the building to get on it and pull the cables to bring it back down. This book is interesting because he writes that all of these things happened shortly after Joe's death.
Joe's maybe trying to get someone's attention.
So maybe Joe himself is doing some of these things as he, quote, adjusts to his new whereabouts. That's how the book put it. Aww. I kind of like that.
I kind of like it too. Like he's not meaning to.
Right. It's like I'm getting used to things. It's like
I was just trying to take the trash out.
It's like in Ghosts with Demi Moore and Patrick Swayze when he's just learning how to like grab things. He can't do it. And then like the other ghost is trying to teach him how to do it. He's like, you got to concentrate. Writer and critic and sometimes actor Rex Reed said, before moving into his eighth floor apartment there, he was doing some renovations and they were nearly complete. Now we're talking almost a gutting, heavy renovations. He was out one day and his apartment was empty and a pile of wood shavings and construction debris inside just caught fire randomly.
Ooh.
Nobody smoked. He didn't smoke. None of the construction workers smoked. Apparently he had a very strict no smoking rule. And it's unknown how the fire started. It was found and it was put out without causing significant damage, although he did have to redo his renovations from smoke and water damage.
I wonder if like sun came through a window.
Ooh, and good one.
Reflected off of something or a piece of, like some glass or whatever and caught something on fire.
It's like that meme of the fortune teller with the crystal ball and somebody got one. And she was like, whatever you do, make sure you keep it covered when you're not using it. And they said, is it so the spirits don't like peer into our world? And she's like, no, because the sun will come through the window and it'll start a fire.
Yeah.
I saw that on an internet meme and I thought it was hilarious.
Maybe that's why it caught fire. Maybe. Yeah.
Also, here's a fun fact. The Dakota has no fire escapes.
Oh, that's dangerous.
Apparently, when they built it, they used really thick layers of mud and like between bricks and walls for insulation and to make it fireproof and soundproof.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I still feel like you need fire escapes.
If any of us ever becomes rich enough to live in the Dakota, which I'm going to talk about later, getting into the Dakota, let us know how you feel with no fire escapes.
Yeah. It's kind of like the Titanic with not enough lifeboats.
Right? I mean, the Cecil Hotel has fire escapes, and we all know how that worked out. So, yeah. Is this a good move? Is it a bad move? I don't know. The Dakota also had a spirit known as the Mad Slasher.
Oh.
He got that name because often people would discover slash marks on the cages of the new automatic elevators that have been installed.
At least he's not slashing people.
That's true. Like, nobody really gets hurt in this, which kind of makes it a nice, sweet story for me.
Yeah.
Well, except for Joe, who died in the taxi.
Yeah, and John Lennon.
And John Lennon
who
gets shot. Yeah. The slash marks appear deep and high up, so it couldn't have been a child doing it. And if it were an adult, they would have apparently have had to have been super tall and like reach really high up. And you had to be really strong to do it. And you had to do it without getting caught, too.
And why? Why do that?
Right. I mean, if you're going to write anything, write your name. I don't know. Like, graffiti it. Since new slash marks were discovered more and more often, residents began to suspect each other. So people kept watching each other in the halls and going around corners and just kind of side-eyeing each other.
Yeah.
Around the same time, piles of shredded paper were found piled up in places as if somebody was trying to start a fire. Now, remember Rex Reed's apartment, how mm-hmm. it caught on fire. And a full gallon of paint, quote, fell off the roof, almost hitting a tenant walking in the courtyard below.
That's scary.
But nobody was painting on the roof. There was no construction work of any kind being done on the roof. So where did this paint can
come
from?
Where did it come from? Interesting.
And who was up there?
Yeah.
Now tenants were getting more and more nervous, so they started watching each other through windows and like peering through binoculars into their people's windows and whatnot.
Rich people problems.
This is like a big old game of Clue. About as soon as the mad slasher started his shenanigans, they seemed to stop just as quickly. And nobody knows if the mad slasher was any particular spirit or not, but most people have ruled out the ghost of Joe Melziner, because he had designed the new elevator doors and he was very proud of them. So he's likely not going to vandalize
right.
his own creation.
Right.
I like Mr. Joe.
Me too.
Writer Frederick Weinstein has noted that while he lived at the Dakota, he and his wife frequently heard footsteps when it wasn't either of them, usually in the dining room. Also, when he was in the dining room, he would suddenly find himself dropping things randomly, tripping and falling, and even sliding out of the chairs that he was sitting in.
Like, sounds like a normal day for me.
He's very clumsy in the dining room. He's also seen the lights from a chandelier in his apartment through the windows when he was outside of the building. But the problem is, he didn't have a chandelier in his apartment.
Weird.
Several residents reported coming home and having furniture and rugs be moved or rearranged. They reported hearing things or seeing objects moving that shouldn't be moving. Mrs. Henry Blanchard, no first name given for her, once heard strange noises from her apartment there, and when a plumber came by and realized it was just noisy pipes, she is quoted in Stephen Birmingham's book as saying she was disappointed to find out that her ghost was just air.
Oh, she wanted a ghost.
I kind of would too.
That would be me.
I would like, you can come live with me, spirit. Yeah. If y'all don't have anywhere to go, Joe, you ain't got to be in the basement. Like, come on. Even as recently as the 1960s, construction workers have said they've witnessed some strange things. One said he witnessed an apparition of a man's body with a boy's face. They didn't have any contact, but several of the workers felt like they were being watched constantly. Several residents have reported seeing a little girl ghost playing with a red ball. She was dressed in clothing much older than in modern times, and she once told someone that it was her birthday that day. No child in the building matched her description, and after appearing to a painting crew once, a painter fell off the scaffolding and died. So some people believe that this little girl was an ill omen.
Also, there's always a child with a ball.
It's always a little girl. Like, Joey Tribbiani talks about being scared of little girl ghosts.
Always a ball.
It is. A lot of other people that have seen this little girl ghost report just seeing her and she just smiles and waves.
Oh, that's nice.
But it is always a kid with the ball. Like, do you mm-hmm. not have any other toys? Like, can a kid have a jump rope or a hula yeah. hoop?
Oh, a hula hoop. Can you see a hula hoop cool. like randomly like floating through the air?
The ghost is like, around. I got it. And like, would it go through them or would it like still connect to them?
A skip it.
Yes, a skip it.
A skip it.
Perfect. Or like a ghost of a little boy playing a Game Boy or something. Although that yeah. would be tragic because Game Boys are like fairly recent and that yeah. would mean somebody died young.
Yeah, I guess skip it's kind of art too.
One of these days though, in like 100 years in the future, people are going to report seeing spirits of children playing Game Boys.
There was a child spirit with a skip it and a Game Boy.
He was playing.
He was dressed in not modern clothes.
He was playing The Legend of Zelda. I recognize yeah. the music. In the book Ghost Hunting New York City by Laura Hlodick, I hope I said that right, she writes that when John Lennon and Yoko Ono moved into the Dakota in the 70s, they moved into the former residence of actor Robert Ryan and his wife Jessica. Now, Jessica had died of cancer there. And the Lennons kind of knew the building was haunted. They kind of figured. So they held a seance in which they contacted Jessica, who politely informed them that she did not want to leave.
Oh.
She said the apartment was her home and she did not want to leave. And the medium at this seance said she was just as polite in death as she was in life. But John and Yoko were cool. They're open-minded. They don't mind her hanging around. And she said they wouldn't, she wouldn't disturb them in any way. So they had a peaceful coexistence there, apparently.
That's nice.
Yoko Ono then called the Ryans' daughter, Lisa, to tell her that her late mother was still happily at home in the Dakota. And Lisa was not happy that she received that phone call.
Oh, no.
Well, she was like, if my mother's ghost belongs anywhere, it's with her family and not with them.
Your mom's ghost belongs wherever she wants to go.
Yeah.
Maybe she didn't like you very much. Also, I mean, it's John Lennon.
If I die and Paul McCartney moves into my house... 100% I'm not, sorry guys, I'm not going to be visiting y'all for a while. Me and Paul are hanging out. He's not going to know it yet, but we're going to be best
but
friends.
We're hanging out. Are you my new best friend?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I hate to tell you, Dana, but he probably will go before you do.
Shh.
I'm sorry, but
I know.
I mean, I don't want to jinx him, but I also don't like you talking about haunting Paul McCartney because I'm like, no.
I know. When that day comes, I'm going to be so sad. I'm just going to be crying openly in public. And I'm not going to care.
We won't talk about it. David Crosby died.
Today?
Yes.
Really?
My mom texted me. Yep.
What is up with 2023?
I know. Already.
Like, so many people are, like, on New Year's Eve, didn't Barbara Walters and Lisa Marie Presley or somebody die in the same
Barbara
day?
Barbara Walters died, and then Lisa Marie Presley died last week. And
yeah, she died last week.
David Crosby.
And then there were 70 people killed in a plane crash in Nepal, and I'm like, hello, Grim Reaper.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Calm yourself down, dude.
Go on vacation. Go somewhere. John Lennon himself is reported to have seen a spirit while living there. He says that he saw the spirit of a woman crying and that he once saw a UFO from his apartment window.
Ooh, weird.
With all the lights in New York City, if you see a UFO, that's impressive.
Right.
Yoko Ono said that she once saw the ghost of John in her apartment playing the piano, and he told her not to be scared that he was still with her.
Oh, that's sweet.
I can 100% see John Lennon visiting Yoko Ono.
Yes.
Like 100%.
I'm playing the piano.
The Dakota building also, since it looks so gothic and unique, was the setting of Roman Polanski's 1968 horror film, Rosemary's Baby.
Rosemary's Baby, yep.
As with Poltergeist, which we talked about not too long ago, and The Exorcist, there's speculation that filming the movie there led to it being cursed.
Hmm.
The composer who wrote the movie's theme died after suffering a head injury from a fall a few months after the movie was released, and he was only 37 at the time.
Oh, sad.
After the movie's release, the producer, William Castle, got hospitalized for kidney stones. Kidney stones! It said he became sort of delirious and would call out lines from the movie like, Rosemary, drop the knife.
Aww.
And he was never involved in a successful movie ever again. And, of course, Roman Polanski is banned from the U.S. now because he raped minors. But
yes,
I don't think any ghost is causing him to be a rapist. That's a decision you make on your own.
Yep.
But also, the Dakota was used for most of the exterior shots and maybe a few interior ones. Most of the movie's photography took place in Los Angeles.
Okay.
People still have seances to try and conjure some of the building's more famous spirits. In 2017, a New York Times reporter was able to tag along and watch a group of socialites try to have a seance to talk to the spirit of Leonard Bernstein, who used to live in their apartment. But they really didn't have one because this article kind of talks about it's sort of like a rich people party for Instagram.
Yeah.
And like people just sit around and talk about having a seance and believing in spirits and whatnot, and nothing really happened.
I would be the one that would show up to a party like that and be like, okay, guys, let's go. Let's do this.
I know. I was thinking that too. I'm like, I would be so disappointed if I show up to a seance party. I'm like, guys, are we going to do this or what? Like, are we just going to talk about it?
Yeah. No.
It's like in Mean Girls when they go to the Halloween party and Lindsay Lohan comes as this like corpse zombie bride, and then everybody else is dressed like really sexy.
Yeah, that'd be me.
That'd be us. Which is probably good that they didn't talk to anybody, because the Dakota is very picky about who lives there nowadays. Mm. Celebrities like Cher, Madonna, and Billy Joel have all applied for residency there and been denied.
Whoa, if Cher can't get in, I can't right? get in.
You have to submit several years of tax documents, do an extensive background check, pay a hefty application fee just to be considered. And there's like a co-op board that decides all this, and they still might not pick you. They actually faced a lawsuit in 2011 about discrimination, but it was dismissed. One resident had criticized the building management because he said they were getting away from selling apartments to creative and unique people there and were just starting to go after people with money. But it's interesting he said that because he tried selling his apartment to Antonio Banderas and that got rejected. They wouldn't let Antonio Banderas move in.
Oh, gosh.
But in a way, I kind of don't blame the board because having a bunch of celebrities live there might be a pain in the butt.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
security and paparazzi and right. everything.
Well, when John Lennon lived there, people would gather outside all the time trying to see him and Yoko Ono, and they would go out in disguises or have to use a secret entrance or backdoor exit. And people were always coming by with gifts and letters and whatnot. And John just told the people just throw it in the trash because he got a package with a suspicious substance in it once. So he was no, if I'm not expecting it, then don't deliver it to me.
Right.
But like if Madonna and Cher and Billy Joel and all these famous people were like living together in the same building, that building would always, always, always be full of people trying to meet them.
Yeah.
And it would be so annoying.
Yeah.
Anyway. I got slightly off topic, but I mean, this is, again, it's a little shorter story, but that's kind of it in a nutshell. I mean, the Dakota has this long history as a building, and of course, eventually it will get a supernatural, you know, label to it.
Yeah.
At some point, as it happens with old buildings. And
yeah, it's got a long history. A lot of different people have been in and out. There's a lot of different stories. So yeah, I can see that happening.
And it kind of reminded me of a mix between like the Crescent Hotel and mm-hmm. Waverly, because the Crescent Hotel was, you know, this hotel or whatever. I mean, it was a hospital and people died there and got experimented on and stuff, but it was like a place where people lived. It had, you know, a variety of spirits. And then Waverly had the spirits like almost have their own personalities. It's almost like a cast of characters mm-hmm. that are there at that place. And this is what the Dakota kind of reminded me of. Like a less experimental medicine version of Waverly.
Yeah. Not as much, not the large volume of death like you have at, you know, a place like Waverly Hills.
Yeah, and most people didn't die under like extremely tragic circumstances. I mean, John Lennon got shot and whatnot, but I mean, I feel like the spirits that are there choose to be there. And they might want to be there.
It's a lot less dark than the Cecil.
It is, isn't it? So this is why I think the Cecil is a little darker. A little more of the haunting.
Yeah.
And it reminded me, too, of season one of American Horror Story, how all the spirits are trapped in the house.
Yes. They just get stuck there.
And they all got to communicate with each other. So I wonder if the spirits in the Dakota can all communicate with each other.
There's a show. It's called Ghosts or something. And it's all about, I've never watched this. I just see like commercials for it.
Yeah.
But I think it's this like bed and breakfast maybe or inn or whatever. And it's all these ghosts that like live there or whatever. And they're all like, some are from a different time. Some are from like, you know, old Victorian. Some are recent. Like there was a girl who I think died in a car accident, but it's a comedy. Like it's a funny show,
oh,
but
really?
It's all ghosts that are living in this one spot.
But how cool would that be though? Because I used to like, just for fun conversation with people, just say, if you could bring somebody from the past into modern day times and show them around for a day, like who would you bring back and what would you show them? I don't know why, for some reason, I always go to Julius Caesar. And I'm like, I want to bring back Julius Caesar and show him airplanes and
show him Little Caesar's pizza.
And Little Caesar's pizza. Like, I'm like, this is your legacy, my friend.
Cheap pizza.
See this? This is the hot and ready box. This is named after you.
Hot and ready.
But I kind of think the same thing with spirits. And I'm like, do you think if you die and become a spirit, you can like chill with Cleopatra?
I mean, that would be pretty cool.
I'd be like, yo, King Tut, how'd you really die? Is it true? Did we get it right? I didn't think we got it right.
No, we did not get it right.
Like, can you just meet whoever you want in the afterlife?
I honestly don't know. I've never been to the afterlife.
That would be kind of cool if you could.
You can just hang out with whoever you want to hang out with. I think right. It's whatever you make it out to be is your afterlife. Whatever
it's kind of like the five people you meet in heaven. Did you ever read that book?
Mm-hmm, I did.
Yeah, and it's kind of like how everybody's afterlives, they were just like chilling in like their happy places. Yeah, and it's where they chose to be. Yeah.
That's kind of my belief. It's where
your happy place
to
is going to be a forest in a little cabin someplace.
Yes.
Surrounded by plants and cats.
Yep. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
I'll probably be just laying in a huge bed with a lot of blankets sleeping. Again, surrounded by cats.
Surrounded by cats. Always cats.
I got to have my kitties around me.
I want to go to the Dakota. I wish you could just go visit.
I would love to. I don't think you can go in. I mean, they probably have pretty strict security.
Yeah, you probably can't even walk in.
But right across the street is the John Lennon Memorial Park there at Central Park, where they have the big Imagine Circle. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's a lot of plants, like in varieties of plants and trees and things there. And when they were talking about building the memorial, Yoko Ono was like, I want it to be something that's like natural and living instead mm-hmm. of like a statue or whatever.
Yeah.
So she like lobbied for them to put in just a bunch of plants and just make it like this beautiful green space, which I think that's nice.
Yeah, that's a good idea, especially in a big city. You need that.
Oh, yeah.
Natural space.
Yeah. Yeah, I would like to go there too. If I was ever in New York City, I've never been to New York City except flying into the airport. But that would definitely be on my list of a place to go.
I've been there once.
Yeah, it's a little short and sweet, this story this time.
Well, I like it. It was good. It was ghosty, but it wasn't like scary ghosty. Yeah.
It's hard to find some things too about spirits and ghost stories, because with crime stories and whatnot, you can find court documents and books and like hard copies of things. And with hauntings, it's really hard to find something beyond eyewitness accounts, because that's really all you have to go on is eyewitness accounts.
Yeah.
Especially and I haven't places. Even, yeah. And I haven't even seen a whole lot of interviews of like John Lennon and Yoko Ono talking about ghosts. Like I tried to like find an interview or something of John Lennon himself talking about it, but I couldn't. But also, if you Google John Lennon and ghost in Dakota, of course you get his assassination.
Well, yeah, obviously.
You got to dig deep. You got to dig really, really deep. Yeah, my next story might be a lot longer because I have a book that I'm going to start. And y'all know how I get with books.
I know my next story.
What's it going to be?
I'm not telling you now.
Dang it. One of these days I'll get you to slip up.
Let's see if I can give a hint. No, I don't even want to give a hint. I'm just going to have to wait.
Okay.
You're going to have to wait. Okay. Shall we sign off?
I guess so.
Well, good story. I like ghost stories.
Me too. Even though it was short and sweet, I still found it entertaining and kind of nice just to have a little break from things that are too morbid.
Yeah.
And too depressing.
Mine won't be that morbid next week.
Oh, mine will be. Okay. So get ready. Cool. I'm about to bum y'all out hard in two episodes from now.
Great. I can't wait.
Mm-hmm. Bumming out hard, y'all. Okay. Okay. I guess that's it.
I gotta pee.
You go pee. And everybody else will see you in 2 weeks.
See you guys.
Bye.
Bye. Your mom lies.
Oh, we're going to start with your mom jokes again.
That's okay. I love your mom.